once again. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. My God, breathe into us. My God. Song says, you are Alpha and Omega. We worship you, our Lord. You are worthy to be praised. Oh, you are Alpha and Omega. We worship you, our Lord. You are worthy to be praised. We give you all the glory. We worship you, our Lord. You are worthy to be praised. Oh, you are Alpha and Omega. We worship you, our Lord. You are worthy to be praised. We give you all the glory. We worship you, our Lord. You are worthy to be praised. Thank you, Jesus. God, my God. Amen. He's worthy, my friends, Jesus. We'll get ready for the offering here. Sing out. Dear Heavenly Father, we're just so thankful to be here this morning, gathered in your little place that you've provided for us. Ask, dear Lord God, you give us so much. We have everything to offer back to you. Pray now that you'll just bless the people as they give from their hearts, dear Lord God. You're the reason why we're here, why we're living. You keep us healthy. The jobs we have, you provide it all, dear. We're just thankful to be able to give back to thee in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. He paid a debt he did not owe. I owed a debt I could not pay. I needed someone to wash my sins away. And now I sing a brand new song, Amazing Grace. All day long, Christ Jesus paid a debt that I could never pay. Oh, he paid a debt he did not owe. I owed a debt I could not pay. I needed someone to wash my sins away. Oh, and now I sing a brand new song, Amazing Grace. All day long, Christ Jesus paid a debt that I could never pay. Once more. Oh, he paid a debt he did not owe. I owed a debt I could not pay. I needed someone to wash my sins away. And now I sing a brand new song. Amazing grace, all day long, Christ Jesus paid a debt that I could never pay. Amen. Lord. Didn't ask, but would anyone like to sing a special this morning?
God bless you.
Amen.
How can I say thank you for the things you have done for me? Things so undeserved, yet you gave to prove your love for me. And the voices of a million angels could not express my gratitude. All that I am and never hope to be, I give it all to thee. To God be the glory. To God be the glory. To God be the glory for the things he has done. How can I say thank you for the things you have done for me? Things so undeserved, yet you gave to prove your love for me. And the voices of a million angels could not express my gratitude. All that I am and ever hope to be, I give it all to thee. To God be the glory. To God be the glory. To God be the glory for the things he has done. Just let me live my life, let it be pleasing, Lord, to thee. Should I gain any praise, let it go to Calvary. To God be the glory. To God be the glory. To God be the glory for the things he has done. He has done great things for me. He has done great things for me. He has done great things. He's so good to me. To God be the glory. To God be the glory. To God be the glory for the things he has done.
Thank you, sister. So many things he does daily. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Sister Lisa.
God bless. Well, I'm tired and so weary, but I must go along till the Lord comes and calls me away. Oh, yes. Well, the morning is bright, and the Lamb is the light, and the night is as fair as the day. Oh, yes. There will be peace in the valley for me someday. There will be peace in the valley for me, O Lord, I pray. There'll be no sadness, no sorrow, no trouble I see. There will be peace, peace in the valley for me. There the flowers will be blooming, and the grass will be green, and the skies will be clear and serene. Oh, yes. Where the sun ever beams in this valley of dreams, and no clouds there will ever be seen. Oh, yes. There will be peace in the valley for me someday. There will be peace in the valley for me, O Lord, I pray. There'll be no sadness, no sorrow, no trouble I see. There will be peace, peace in the valley for me. Oh, yes. Where the bear will be gentle, and the wolf will be tame, and the lion shall lay down by the lamb. Oh, yes. Well, the beast from the wild shall be led by little child, and I'll be chains from this creature that I am. Oh, yes. There will be peace in the valley for me someday. There will be peace, peace in the valley for me, O Lord, I pray. There'll be no sadness, no sorrow, no trouble I see. There will be peace, peace in the valley for me. There will be peace, peace in the valley for me.
Thank you, Sister Lee. Peace in the valley. Amen. Did I see another hand?
God bless you. This is a song for the Lord of it and my mother. I would like to play a tribute. I thought I did what's right. I thought I had the answers. I thought I chose the surest road, but that road led me here. So I put up a fight and told you how to help me. And just when I have given up, the truth is coming clear. He knows better than I. He knows the way I let go. The need to know why, 'cause Jesus knows better than I. If this has been a test, I cannot see the reason, but maybe knowing I don't know is part of getting through. I try to do what's best, and faith has made it easy to see the best thing I can do is put my trust in you. He knows better than I. He knows the way I let go. The need to know why, for Jesus knows better than I. Jesus knows better than I. He knows the way I let go. The need to know why, for Jesus knows better than I. For Jesus knows better than I. For he knows better than I.
Amen. Thank the Lord. Thank you, Sister Jennifer. He knows better than us. Sister Robles?
In moments like this, I see now a song. I see now a love song to Jesus. In moments like this, I lift all my hands. I lift all my hands to the Lord, singing I love you, Lord. Singing I love you, Lord. Singing I love you, my Lord. I'm in love with you. En momentos así levanto mi voz, levanto mi alma a Cristo en momentos así. Levanto mi voz, levanto mi alma a Él. Oh, cuánto te amo, Dios. Oh, cuánto te amo, Dios. Oh, cuánto te amo, oh Señor. Cuánto te amo. In moments like this, I see now a song. I see now a love song to Jesus. In moments like this, I lift up my hands. I lift up my hands to the Lord, singing I love you, Lord. Singing I love you, Lord. Singing I love you, my Lord. I'm in love with you. Singing I love you, Lord. Singing I love you, Lord. Singing I love you, my Lord. I'm in love with you. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, sister. Sing this little song as we bring the pastor on. All right. Let's just sing Have Thine Own Way, Lord.
Desire for the Lord to have his own way.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. It's good to be in the house of the Lord.
Amen.
Amen with the saints of God. And seeing more people here than I thought would be. But Jack said it's just going to be just a handful. This might be a handful compared to some places, but I've been to places where this is a big crowd, so I think we can have church. Amen. So God bless you. It's good to see all of you again. It's good to be in the house of the Lord and see Sister Chantel, mother over there. So God bless you. Amen. This is part of the family of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer this morning. Heavenly Father, we come before you today, Lord, with thanksgiving in our heart for what you've done for us in this last day by sending us a message to set us free, deliver us from our past and deliver us from the present and show us what our future is. Lord, we pray today that you would visit us, Lord, as we have assembled ourselves together in the house of God with your people that you have foreordained from the foundation of the world. We pray, Lord, today that you would move us out of the way. Lord, that we would not hinder the service, Lord. Move me out of the way and those that are listening, Father, that they would not hinder the moving of your Spirit, Father. We desire for the Spirit of God to move in our midst. Lord, we can't do nothing on our own, but we look to you for our strength and our help and our guidance and our leadership, Lord. And we pray, Lord, that you will touch each one. If there's any sick, that you will touch them, Lord. It go home well. And if any's backslid or cold in their walk with you, Lord, you bring them closer to you. Bring us into a fellowship, Lord, with you, first of all, and also with one another, Lord. We pray, Father, that you'll bless your word this morning as we read it. We commit this service to you in this time in the precious name of Jesus Christ for your glory. Amen. Amen. I tell you, it's good to be a Christian. Amen. And I'd rather be here than anywhere else I could think of in the world. It's being the house of God with God's people. We're living in a late hour. Amen. World events are happening. And I know sometimes it seems like time just goes on and on, but time will not continue forever. The Bible said, and time shall be no more. So the world will face that hour when there won't be any time. But for us, we've already entered into eternity. Amen. Hallelujah. So it's good to be with the saints. This is just a foretaste of what heaven will be like. Amen. So let's turn. I'm just going to read one verse, Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, a very familiar scripture. Revelation 3:20, and I'll let you be seated. I count it a privilege to be here today for Brother Jack to have enough confidence in me to ask me to come, I guess, when he's gone. Amen. Because I know as a shepherd, he wants to make sure that the sheep are taken care of. So, and I'm sure he's got plenty of good people here that if I get out of line, you'll let him know. Amen. Revelation 3 and verse 20 is one verse. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. Lord bless the reading of his word. You can be seated this morning. I want to title it this morning, and Lord forgive me for a title like this, but he knows my heart. I want to title it, The Tramp on the Street. The Tramp on the Street. And I believe, especially in the time that we're living in and the hour that we're in, and I'm sure that you've probably been seeing the news and hearing about it, that the Pope went to the Middle East. I believe he arrived there yesterday, I believe it was. And I was just looking up a little news this morning. I don't usually myself pay too much attention. I know Israel is the timepiece and so on, but there's plenty of others that keep track of all those things for me. But I thought this morning I would just kind of look and see if I can find any news. And I thought it was interesting that before he arrived, they had an earthquake in the Middle East. And And then also the other thing that struck me was, I believe today, which is probably already passed there, but he was going to have mass on the site where the Last Supper took place. So, you know, and I thought here, you know, our Lord had his Last Supper with his disciples, and here is the greatest enemy that the church has over there claiming the same rights and having the mass right on the same spot and the same grounds. So I only said that to say this, is that we are in the end time. We're in the last day. And as scoffers, amen, the world is full of scoffers and all these things that are taking place. So it's just another, it causes us to look up and say, where are we? What hour are we living in? Amen. If all those things are happening over there, then where is the bride of Jesus Christ? Amen. I believe we ought to be getting ready to leave this place, leaving the world behind, leaving everything behind, and press the battle. Amen. And look to what is in our future and not what is going on necessarily right now. And don't let these things right now hinder you and sidetrack you, all the things that are happening in the world and happening around the message. Amen. We have a focus. We have a goal. And that is, we shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. And I believe that is still true. So I believe we need to look away from the world and look to Jesus Christ. Amen. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So I want to take this thought, the tramp on the street. And you forgive me for that title, but as I said, God knows my heart. The scripture that we read says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. I stand at the door. Jesus himself standing at the door and knocking. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and will sup with him and he with me. Now, if you look up the word tramp, it means a drifter, a vagabond, a floater, or a wanderer who has no established residence or visible means of support. A tramp has no visible means of support or has no established residence. And Brother Branham says, you know, speaking on this very scripture here, amen, that this is what is the most pathetic scripture in the Bible, amen, because it's the age that we're living in, and it's speaking where Jesus Christ himself has been put out of his own church. Jesus Christ himself that died for the church is standing outside and he's knocking because he wants to come in. So it's the most pathetic scripture that we have, that Christ himself is outside of his own church. So you might ask me, how can Jesus be out of his own church? Amen. When you reject him, when you reject who he sends, you reject him. You believe that? Then I want to just turn to a scripture in 1 Samuel chapter 8, verse 7, just to clarify this. Amen. Because many people think we can put away with God's prophets, we can put away with all these things, and we can still have Jesus Christ. But we find out in the scripture that you cannot do it. Amen. The only way you can have God is to believe his prophets. The Bible even says, believe his prophets and so shall you, what? Prosper. Amen. So the Bible says here in 1 Samuel, when Israel, which was God's people, they had rejected God and they had chosen a king. And Samuel was feeling bad about this. Amen. Because he felt like he was the one rejected. He was the one that was turned down. So he was feeling bad. But the Bible said, the Lord said unto Samuel, hearken unto the voice of the people and all that they say unto thee, for they have not rejected thee, but they have rejected me, that I shall not reign over them. So when they turned down Samuel the prophet, amen, even though Samuel felt bad, but really he was not the one that they rejected. They had rejected the Almighty God when they rejected his prophet. Amen. When you reject God's provided way,
Amen. Then God cannot reign or rule over his people. And God wants control over his people. He wants to be ruler. He wants to have the headship. He doesn't want to just be Savior. He wants to be Lord of your life. Amen. But when you turn down God's provider way, amen, then he is not Lord of your life. Because when you turn down who he sends, then you've turned him down. And the church said amen. You believe that? Amen. So when you cast out his prophet, you have cast out Jesus Christ. You can't have it both ways. You can't have Jesus and not have his prophet. If you have his prophet, you have Jesus. I mean, you can't separate them because Jesus is the one that sends them. So when you cast out the prophet, you have cast out Jesus Christ. Because Jesus Christ is the one that sent him, because Jesus says, I will send unto you prophets. So if Jesus said, I will send to you prophets, then he is the same as the message is. He is one with his messenger. You believe that? He said, but I will send to you prophets and wise men and scribes, and some of them you shall kill and crucify, and some of them you shall scourge in your synagogues and persecute them from city to city. Now you might say, why are you preaching that? Because that don't really apply to us, because we are message believers. But I want to say to you, it applies to you this morning. Some of them you shall kill and crucify, and some you shall scourge in your synagogues. How can you scourge? Amen. You say you are following the truth of the day. You might say, how could that apply to me? Because people are walking away from the truth. They're walking away from the message of the hour, and their attitudes and the things that they say, amen, is crucifying the very word that they claim they are believing. We always said and we always thought that was the Baptist or the Methodist or the Pentecostals or whatever. But we find out it comes right home where we live. Hallelujah. Amen. People are leaving this word that God has sent to the last day, and they are crucifying Jesus Christ. They are rejecting him today because they are rejecting the prophet that he sent. I hope you're listening to me. Amen. Jesus also said, he that receives a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. He that receives a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. So how? I'm so glad that he also put in there a righteous man, because people become so offended when you talk about a prophet, but what about a righteous man? Amen. A righteous man might not necessarily be a prophet, but you can still be righteous and holy in the presence of God. And when you reject him, you reject the God. Amen. If you want the righteous man's reward, you have to believe the righteous man. Amen. Hallelujah. What is the righteous man's reward? Eternal life. Amen. That's his reward. Amen. It's eternal life. And if I want it, what's Jesus saying? If I want eternal life, I have to accept what the righteous man said. Amen. Hallelujah. Because he has eternal life if he's righteous. And a prophet is righteous. So if I want a prophet's reward, then I will believe what he said so I can have eternal life. Amen. So when you slander, amen, a prophet or a righteous man, how can you expect to receive their reward? You can't do it. Amen. When you reject them, you've rejected God, and you will not receive their reward. So the God of heaven has become a tramp on the street in the time that we live in. In the eyes of the world, he looks like a vagabond. Are you with me? A vagabond is somebody that just wanders from place to place, has no home, or has no job. That's a tramp on the street. Hallelujah. I know it's a terrible thing to compare our Lord with a tramp on the street, but we'll get to something after a while. But in the eyes of the world, that's what he is. In the eyes of many religious people, the Lord Jesus has become a tramp. Now, they would never admit that. They would never say that. But their actions have put him out. And their actions won't let him in. Now, most of you, if a tramp come to your door and knocked at the door, you probably wouldn't even open. Why? He's a tramp. And you don't want him in your home. Well, that's the way people treat the Word of God. Amen. They have put him out on the street, and he's knocking. He wants to get in. And they says, I will not let you in because in my eyes, you are a tramp. Amen. I know it sounds a little strong, but it's the truth. Amen. Why? How has this happened? Because people's desires, amen, have driven him from the church. Your desire to be worldly, your desire to live like the world has driven him away from your life and away from the church. Has driven him out. You believe that? Because he wants to be first place in your life. Hallelujah. So your desires, your attitudes, your motives, all these things have pushed him out. Out of your life, out of many churches, because they don't want to be corrected. They don't want to hear the truth. They just want to hear what they want to hear. They don't want the preacher to tell them this is wrong and that's wrong. That's the Laodicean spirit. Amen. And that attitude has put him out. I hope you're following me. So in his first coming, amen, he was put out. Why? Because of misinterpreted theology. Because people said the Messiah will come a certain way and didn't come that way. Therefore, they put him out. And he become, when Jesus was here on earth, he walked among them as a stranger. As a tramp on the street, if you will. Why? He was rejected. The Pharisees, the Sadducees, do you think they loved him? They did not like him. And they were the religious leaders of that day, and they hated the Lord Jesus. I don't mean they just kind of disliked him. They hated him. If you don't believe that, ask yourself, why did they crucify him? They crucified him because they hated him. And you don't crucify somebody just because of a little dislike. Or, you know, I just don't quite agree with you, so I'm going to kill you. No, there is a hate. There is a hatred in a person that would crucify. And here was Jesus, which was a righteous man, which was going about the city doing good, walking through Jerusalem, amen, and Bethlehem, all those places, doing nothing but good. But the religious people hated him so much that they nailed him to a tree. That was the first coming. Amen. And they rejected him because of the way he was born, because of the way he lived, because of the things he done. Amen. They rejected him and he become as a tramp, and his messiahship was rejected. Amen. Though the churches of the day have done the same thing. You believe that? Those who claim to believe the Bible have rejected his messiahship today. The churches have put him out on the street. Because why? His coming is contrary to their interpretation of the scripture. You believe that? So the message, we always refer to the message. Because that's what it is. It's a message to prepare every one of us for a rapture. So we call it the message. But the message that you claim that you believe and that you hold on to has become an outcast. Just like the Lord Jesus. It has become an outcast among those who claim they believe the Bible. The message that you believe has become a tramp on the street. Now, you might say, Brother Bill, I didn't come to church to hear all this. I come to be encouraged, and I want you to tell me how glorious the message is and all. I am. I will. But I want you to know that you're not always on the mountaintop, and I want you to know that you will never be accepted in the world. You will never be thought of popular amongst the world. You might as well settle it in your heart. If you're going to follow God, you're going to be an outcast. And if the message has become a trap on the street, guess what? You are a trap on the street. Oh, wait a minute, Brother Bill. No, wait. You go back to Sarasota. You become a trap on the street, because if you say you believe this message and you really believe it, then you become the tramp. The world does not want you. Hallelujah. You believe that? A tramp, like I said, is never welcome. Even, I would say, even in your workplace. They might not come out and say it, but in their heart, they despise you. They know you're a good worker. Why? Because you're a Christian. Christians are good workers. Hello? Hallelujah. Christians, you know, they asked Brother Bam a question one time, should a Christian work? He said, that's one person that will work. Hallelujah, as a Christian. So they like you at work. As far as working, you have good ethics. You show up on time. You're not all hungover. Amen. They like that part, but really, there's still something about you they despise. Because even in all of that, you don't have to say anything, but your life testifies against them. Your life testifies against their partying and all those things that they do. You can just walk in. Don't have to say nothing. And someone raises up in them going, it's not them. It's the spirit in them that hates the spirit in you. And therefore, you become a tramp. So I'm going to say, good morning, tramps. Hallelujah. See, I can say that because that means I'm one too. Hallelujah. I hope you understand what I'm driving at. So a tramp is never welcome among society. Amen. Amen. Because, you know, society is never in line with God. Why? Because society is what they call higher class and, you know, better people. And you know, we are progressing. I think they're degressing. Amen? But society always thinks they are better. And so when they, you know, a tramp is never accepted among society. Amen? He has become an outcast because why? They don't want to identify themselves with somebody that's not popular. Somebody that's not accepted by the crowds. Amen? And a tramp is never accepted among the crowds. So now, let's turn to Isaiah chapter 53. Everybody doing all right? Amen. I want to spare a little bit of voice if I can. I'm supposed to preach for Brother Gene this afternoon in Boynton Beach. Isaiah 53 verse 1. Who has believed our report? Or who has believed God's message? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, as a root out of dry ground. He has no form, no comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is what? No beauty that we should desire him. He is despised. What? The tramp. He is despised and rejected of men. He was despised and we esteemed him not. See, the Bible said we hid as it were our faces from this tramp. We hid as it were our faces from him. Because he was a despised person. And we didn't want to identify ourselves with something that's despised. We want to identify with somebody, something that is accepted. Everybody wants to be around somebody that's accepted. If you are a famous person and well known, everybody says, oh, God bless you, brother. We want to be identified with that. But when somebody starts throwing stones at you, spitting at you, pulling your beard out, we all hit our faces. Even Peter, when the Lord was being betrayed, what was it? I don't know the man, he said. We hid our faces from him. Why? He had become a tramp amongst us. Even the disciples, the ones that said, we will never leave you. They said, even though all men forsake you, yet we will not leave. But when the time came that he was crucified, that he was rejected, he was despised, the disciples even walked away from him. But I got news for you. They did not have the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Peter didn't have the Holy Ghost when he cursed and said, I don't know him. So if we have the Holy Ghost, I don't believe we will deny him. Hallelujah. They didn't have that power on the inside yet, but you shall receive power from on high. And when you receive that power, you will not deny me anymore. You will not look at me anymore like a tramp. Hallelujah. But like the Messiah himself. Talking about Jesus. And why? You have received the Holy Ghost. You believe that? So he was despised and we esteemed him not. In other words, that was the prophecy of what kind of person the Messiah would be when he come the first time. Somebody that would be despised. Now, if you look up the word despised, it means to regard with contempt or scorn. To dislike intensely. Not just a little dislike, but dislike intensely. Amen. To loathe. That was to hate. To regard as unworthy of one's interest or concern. So they looked at him as somebody that was not worthy of their interest. In other words, a tramp. Amen. Is considered of no value. And that's the way the world looked at Jesus Christ, that he was of no value to them. If only Israel would have recognized he was the greatest value and the greatest treasure that would ever come their way was the Lord Jesus. But they looked at him as somebody that was no value to them. And it also describes how people feel about the message of the hour. Amen. We want to come and bring it to this day that we live in, because people look at the message and feel about the message the same way that people felt about Jesus Christ. It's no value to me. It's of no interest to me. Hallelujah. It doesn't concern me. But I'm telling you, it means more to you than you realize. Hallelujah. Because why? It's Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Listen, brothers and sisters, this is not just a social gathering. If you come here to this church because you think this is a nice place to hang out, you are sadly mistaken. This is not a nice place to hang out. We come, amen, to worship God, to worship our Creator. We don't even come to see one another. Not if you come for the right purpose. We come to see the Lord Jesus, the one that the world said is a tramp. We come to see him. Hallelujah. Amen. But they dislike him intently. In other words, they really hate it. Now, amen. Brother Branham said that, he says, this nation, amen, that's what the people have done. That's what the churches have done. They've turned it down. They crucified the message. They crucified the truth to the people. How did they do it, he asked. They put him to shame, stripped his clothes off of him, hung him on a cross, and nailed him up there, the Prince of Life. Amen. The same thing that they've done today with their creeds. Now listen, they've done the same thing. They've stripped the things. They've stripped the goodness and the clothing of the gospel by trying to place it somewhere else and hung him on a cross. So they have taken away everything that is our covering. Amen. And hung the word, if you will, hung the word on a cross again. Amen. The people of today, amen, the message is not worth their time. You believe that? They scorn it. They hate it. And that's why they're in the condition they're in. That's why the world is in the condition they're in. It's because they have crucified him. Amen. So the churches, why? The word. Listen, there used to be a time. I don't know how long you have been following the message, but there used to be a time where people would respect it. Anything you said about it, they would just adhere to it. Why? It was a respect for it. You know why it was a respect for it? Because they had accepted it as truth. Many people did. But let me say, many people only accepted it as truth in their intellects. So when somebody said, the message says this, they say, oh, really? I better line up to that. I want to obey it. But today, you very seldom see that anymore. Why? The attitude has changed in the people. Why? Because it was only up here. In their mind, they knew it was right. Listen, there's many people in their mind, they know the word is right. But they will not move a finger to accept it in their heart. They won't do nothing about their own miserable life that they're living. But yet in their mind, they might sympathize with you. They might say, yes, I know it's right. I know it's true. But I just can't live it. Or I don't want to live it. And the whole attitude has changed. Now, I'm not talking about the people on the street now. I'm talking about people that walked amongst you. I'm talking about people that walked amongst us for 20 years, 30 years. All of a sudden, they turn against it. Why? It was only up here in the mind. And with intellectual understanding, you can be persuaded out of it. With intellectual understanding, not only can, but you will be persuaded out of it. The only thing that will hold you is the Holy Ghost. The baptism of the Holy Ghost in your life is the only thing that will keep you in this hour. Hallelujah. So listen, we don't want intellectual understanding. We don't want to say in our mind, yes, I believe it's right. But what about my heart? Is my heart right? Amen. I can say it's right, but am I right? We know it's right, but what about me? Amen. That's what it comes down to. What about you? Hey, listen, we're not just churchgoers. We're Christians. And there's a difference between a churchgoer and a Christian. You believe that? Amen. But why? This has happened because a strong delusion has come upon the people. A strong, God said, because they don't love the truth, I will send them a strong delusion that they believe a lie and be damned by it. They actually believe that that lie is the truth. They'll give their life for that lie. A strong delusion. Amen. Walking away. What is it? Crucifying. The word has become, in their eyes, the word has become a tramp. The message of the hour in the eyes of these people has become a tramp. It has become a lie. It has become a vagabond. You believe that? Why? Their heart was never turned back to the faith of the fathers. Only their head was turned. Amen. Just like Israel when they come out. Amen. The Bible said in their heart, they turned back to Egypt. After they had left the church system, after they had left all those worldly things and all the gods of Egypt, amen, and walked in the wilderness for a while with the message. But after a while, the message became too hard. Amen. They said it would have been better that we would have stayed back there. And the Bible said in their hearts, they turned back. Listen, I'm going to say something. I wonder, all these people that's walking away from the truth, I wonder how long they sat in message churches But their heart already had left. Their heart was already turned back. Let me say, their heart had to be turned back before they could leave. So their heart, no doubt, had been turned back for many years. But they're still associated with you. Hallelujah. So the word, in their eyes, the message has become a tramp. Something that's despised, something that's rejected. Now the Bible said, where your treasure is, there is your heart also. Is that right? So your heart, you know, your life, your actions, your decisions, your things that you do, it shows where your treasure is. The decisions you make for your family, the decisions you make for your own life, amen, it shows where your treasure is. And let me tell you, a lot of people's treasure is not the Word of God. Because you can see it in the things that they do. Hallelujah. Amen. The decisions that they make. Amen. That takes them away from church. Away from fellowship. Amen. Their treasure is not where it should be. Their treasure is their bank account and not God Himself. Amen. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Wherever your treasure is, your heart's going to be there. You might be in church, but if your treasure is in the bank account, you're looking out there. When's it going to be done? I got to go to work. I got to make money. I got to pay my bills. Well, that's all you think about because your treasure is there. But why don't you let your treasure be the Word of God? Make this your treasure. Let this be the first thing in your life. And where your treasure is, there your heart will be. Hallelujah. Then when Sunday morning comes, amen, your treasure is in the Word, you will be here. Right. Hallelujah. You'll do all you can to be here. I'm not saying you can never miss for whatever reason. I'm not a legalist, but I'm saying if your heart is in the Word, you're going to try to make decisions in life that will allow you to come to the house of God. Because where your treasure is, there is your heart. And if your treasure is the Word and your treasure is fellowship with the people, you're going to do whatever you can to be here. Amen. And the church said, amen, glory to God, Brother Bill. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Where your treasure is. Amen. And that's why people have walked away from the message, because it was not their treasure. They didn't know what it was. It was only something that attracted them for a little while. But when the times come hard and time goes on and it seems like it's never going to stop, they walked away. Why? The message was not their treasure. To them, it was not the great pearl of price. Amen. It wasn't the greatest thing in their life. Listen, if God is not the greatest thing in our life, somewhere along the line, we're going to drop. Somewhere you're going to drop. Why? Because your treasure's got to be. Amen. He has to be your treasure. Amen. So what is it? Jesus Christ, again, sitting in a corner with dirty feet. You remember the story. Amen. Jesus sitting in the corner with dirty feet. And there was a woman that she wanted to do him service so bad. She saw him over there. Amen. They had invited him. Like Brother Brown says, we invite him many times into our churches, into our camp meetings, into our revivals. And then when he comes, we ignore him. Listen, let me say this morning, the Word of God and your walk with the Lord Jesus Christ is more than a song service. It's more than listen, we love good singing. We love all the worship. We love the running the aisle. We love shouting. We love whatever. But your walk with Christ is greater than that. Hallelujah. I believe in all of that. But your walk is greater than a shout or a jump, because you can shout and jump, but when the pressure comes, you leave. Why? Because the Word is not your treasure. You believe that? Jesus is not welcomed. Amen. Sometimes even we have meetings. We say, oh Lord, we invite you into our meetings. But then let the Word come down, maybe in a cutting form or whatever, and we reject it. We don't want to be corrected. What is it? Jesus sitting in the corner with dirty feet. Unwashed. Unwelcome. But I want to say this morning, I want to make him welcome. I want to open my heart. Amen. Say, come in, Lord. Come in. I know they treat you like a tramp, but I'm going to open my door. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm going to feed you. Hallelujah. I'm going to clothe you. Amen. I'm going to wash you. Hallelujah. Amen. Because to us, he's not a tramp. You believe that? Amen. Amen. Brother Branham said, your repentance will wash the dirt from his feet. Hallelujah. Amen. So, amen. He has become homeless. The Lord Jesus has become homeless in the world, in their ranks. No established residence. No visible means of support. In other words, it looks like nobody supports him. You know what they said about Brother Branham? They says, you know, we can understand Billy Graham, how he can stand because all the churches are behind him. We can understand how Oral Roberts can stand because all the Pentecostals rally behind him. But say, how can we have anything like you? Nobody stands with you. He said, it's God. Hallelujah. Just plain simple, it's God. Amen. Amen. How do you think you're surviving today? Amen. Look how small this group is. What do we have? 20 people, 25 people? You are nothing in the eyes of the world. You are small. How can you stand? Where is your support? No visible means of support. You don't get a check from the headquarters to support this church. How do you survive? It's God. It's God. And then he has a program. And his program always takes care of his people. Hallelujah. I say thanks be to God that you... Amen. Brother Brandon went to Oral Roberts' big school out there. You remember? They showed him the whole place. And he went to Tommy Osborne's and all these great men, all their great schools and colleges. We all. And he said, I was walking away. I was feeling kind of bad for myself. He said, here I was in a trailer with a typewriter at the end in one little room. He said, I would sure hate for them men to come to my place. And he said, something spoke out. Because he was feeling sorry. He says, what about me? You ever felt like that? I felt like that. Man. What about me, Lord? And something said, look up. I am your portion. Hallelujah. I say thank God today. I believe we can stand with that prophet today. Maybe when you're feeling sad and feeling lonely and feeling, what about me? Poor me. The voice will speak out to you and say, look up. I am your portion. Hallelujah. I say glory to God. I'm glad we have a portion. No visible means of support. No visible means. But it's an invisible union of the bride of Jesus Christ. It's an invisible support. The world wonders, how do you survive? The face of the Catholic Church, the popes in Jerusalem, all these big things taking place, and all these big charismatic moves, everything going on. How do you survive? I don't know. It's God. Amen. Hallelujah. It's God that keeps me going. Amen. Amen. So it looked like Jesus had no support. Amen. No established residence. But he said, my Father worketh hitherto, and I work. In other words, I do what I see the Father doing. My Father worketh hitherto, and I work. So he had the support of heaven backing him up. Hallelujah. He said, all power in heaven and earth is given to me. You know, when he was on earth, he had no place he could call home, right? Amen. Brother Branham said, Joseph come to him one day, and he says, Daddy, has Jesus got a boat? So I said, after he went out of the room, after Joseph went out of the room, I happened to think, has he got a boat? And so he took a text from that, but he says, has Jesus got a boat? And I happen to think when he was on earth, he had to borrow a womb to be born in. A grave to be buried in. Didn't even have his own grave. He had made no funeral arrangements. Hallelujah. Even though, why? He wasn't going to spend a lot of money on it because he wasn't going to be in the grave very long. Hallelujah. He said, I was only going, within 3 days, I'm going to raise up. I'm not going to make a big funeral arrangement. So I didn't even have a grave. He had to borrow one. And he had to borrow a boat to preach from, he says. But he's the pilot of the old ship of Zion. Hallelujah. Think about it. Borrow a womb, borrow a grave, borrow a boat, but he's the pilot of the old ship of Zion. And I tell you this morning, I can hear that old ship coming. The old foghorn blowing. Amen. It's truly, it is a foghorn this morning. Blowing through the fog of this world. Amen. Let you know, I'm coming. I'm coming. Get on the old ship. Hallelujah. I am the captain of that ship. Hallelujah. So, he hasn't got a boat. I'm going to ask you this morning, who are you serving? Somebody had to borrow a womb, borrow a grave, borrow a boat to preach in. Didn't even have his own boat, but yet when his disciples couldn't catch no fish all night, he says, throw it on the other side, and he caught more fish than ever. And then one disciple said to Peter, it's the Lord! Because they didn't know who it was. And the Bible says Peter was naked. But when the other disciples said, it's the Lord, he cast the girdle around him and jumped in the water. Amen. When you recognize God is in your midst, you'll do things. Listen, sisters, that's why you dress right. When you realize God is in your midst, amen. You remember the story, Brother Brandon went over to Africa, I believe it was. Amen. And those natives that didn't know right and left hand, and the women were almost as naked as the day they were born. Amen. He said, a woman gave birth in the service. So I forget how many feet from him. Natives. They didn't know they were naked, though. But he said, at the touch of Jesus Christ, they walked away from the presence of man, folding their arms. Why? He says, then I don't understand how that we Americans can claim that we're Christians, and every year we take more off. When the Holy Ghost, one touch from Jesus Christ, made them cover up. And he said, the next service, all those people come back covered. One touch from the Holy Ghost, from the presence of Jesus Christ, make them cover up, and Americans claim they're Christians and take them more off every year. I say, like Brother Bram says, something's wrong somewhere. They're not getting to Christ because there's another finger somewhere pointing them somewhere else. Because the Word has become a tramp in the church world. You believe that? But Jesus Christ showed us who he was, showed us how to live, showed us that when he was on earth, the King of heaven, the creator of the heavens and the earth, didn't have a boat, didn't have nowhere to lay his head. Amen. Lived like a homeless person almost, showing you an example. You believe that? Showing you an example. And yet, all of heaven was behind him. He said, the Father worketh hitherto, and I work. In other words, he's supporting me. All power in heaven and earth is given to me. Amen. You believe that? Amen. In Matthew chapter 8, verse 19, says, a certain scribe came and said unto him, Master, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. So Jesus said, the foxes have holes, the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has not where to lay his head. In other words, how can you come to my house? He said, we're going to follow you. We're going to go wherever you go. And Jesus, so many words, turned around and says, look, I don't even have a home. The foxes have a home, but I don't have no place. The birds have a nest, but I have no place that I can lay my head. Amen. No place that I can call home. The Lord, the King of heaven. Amen. But today, amen, if you accept his headship, amen, then there's a place where he can lay his head. You believe that? Oh, I thank God today. Hallelujah. Amen. He says, can I go just a few more minutes? Amen. He said, I go prepare a place for you. I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. What a comforting word. Where I am. In other words, I go to prepare a place, he said. I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also. Don't be troubled, he said. Believe in God, believe also in me. I'm going to fix you a place. Amen. The one that was living homeless said, I'm going to make you a place. The one that was living like he had nothing, hallelujah, said, I'm going to prepare you a place. I tell you, it takes revelation to believe somebody like that. Those disciples had to have revelation. How can this man that don't even have a place to lay his own head, he's going to build one for me? You expect me to believe that? But it's revelation. Amen. I go. He said, I go to prepare a place. I'm not going to prepare here on earth. I'm not going to prepare here, but I go to prepare a place. I go to my Father. Hallelujah. You believe that? That where I am, there you may be also. Amen. So what was it? He prepared a place. And I want to say today, Jesus Christ has an established residence. And he has all the support of heaven behind him. Hallelujah. I tell you, his residence is sure. Very sure. The Bible says we are built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. Amen. Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone. I say that's quite a house that he's building us. I say that's quite a permanent residence. I go to prepare a place where I am the chief cornerstone. I am the one that holds the whole building together. I'm the one that holds the church together. Amen. How do you survive? It's God. It's God. In whom all the building fitly framed together grows unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also. I like this. He's bringing it down to you now. You are his dwelling place. You also are built together for inhabitation of God through the Spirit. So you become the habitation. You become the dwelling place. You become the permanent residence where God lives. Amen. If you are his bride, you are his established residence. You believe that? He has established his dwelling place in you. Not visible to the eye. People might not see it. They don't see, you know, many times they just see a man or a woman, but they don't really see what's living on the inside. Amen. You have become the dwelling place of Jesus Christ to you. He's not a tramp. Hallelujah. He's not a tramp. He is the King of Heaven. Hallelujah. What the world will cast out as a tramp, as useless, as something that's not worth their time, the bride has embraced it. The bride has embraced that tramp. God forgive me for saying that, but you know what I mean. God, the bride has embraced him. Amen. Yes, sir. Hallelujah. I stand at the door and knock. If any man, or I might say, add to that, any woman, hallelujah, anybody will open the door, I will come in. The tramp has to stand outside and knocking. That artist that painted that picture, amen, of Jesus knocking at the door, and it went to the Hall of Critics, and he said, your picture is very beautiful, your picture is very nice, it's very eloquent, but there's just one thing that's missing. There's no handle on the outside. He says, oh, he said, I painted it thus. I painted it thus because you have to open it from the inside. He will not force his way in. Amen. This is a gentle tramp. Hallelujah. This is not a thief. It's just considered a tramp. So he just knocks. Kindly waiting. Oh, maybe one day they'll open the door. If they open the door, I will come in and sup with them. And they will sup with me. Amen. What? The Lord Jesus, not a tramp. Hallelujah. Amen. So he says, where I go, And whither I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas said unto him, Lord, we don't know where you go. How can we know the way? Jesus said, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. Hallelujah. I am the one. You believe that? I am the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. I'm the way. I'm the truth. I'm the life. The one that walked around like he had nothing. Lived like he had nothing. He had everything that I ever need. Amen. All my healing. All my salvation. All my victory. Everything I have need of was in Jesus Christ. Amen. He lived like he had nothing, but I want to say he has everything you need. Hallelujah. The King of Heaven, to us, he's not a tramp. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So, the Son of Man in his first coming. Let me say this, and we'll get ready to close in just a little bit. In his first coming, he had nowhere to lay his head. But in his second coming, there's a body on earth, hallelujah, where he can lay his head. Hallelujah. You believe that? His headship has returned to the bride of Jesus Christ. Amen. That's why I believe with all my heart that cloud picture, that's why it only showed his head. Because the body was already here. In the first coming, the Son of Man had nowhere to lay his head. But in the second coming, listen, the body is already formed. It was already formed to Luther, Wesley, Pentecost. What was that? God gathering his people up through all the ages, building the body, building the body. Luther with the word, Wesley with the word, Pentecost with the word. What? Restoring, restoring, restoring. What? Establishing a body, bringing a body, forming a body. Because the head was coming back. He could all, that cloud picture could only be taken in this day. Hallelujah, because this was the day when the body was on earth, finished, waiting for the headship. That's why today we're not answering to a church. We're not answering to some preacher somewhere. We answer to the headship of Jesus Christ. The Word of God. He's not homeless. He has a place to lay his head. You believe that? And I want to say I thank God that he's made me that place. He's made you that place where he can lay his head. Hallelujah. Now you are, he can reign over his people because you have not rejected his prophet. You have not rejected Samuel. You understand? You have not rejected him. Therefore, he can reign over you because that word is here, is living in the bride of Jesus Christ. Oh, what a blessed people we are today. What a blessed people we are to know where the headship of Christ is. How can it be the headship if it's ruled by the word? If it's ruled by creeds, as Brother Bram said, it's put creeds is what crucified him when he first came. It was creeds that nailed him to the cross. And it's creeds today that nailed him to the cross again. And that's why people walk away from the truth. They dislike it intensely. They don't just dislike. Why is it that people that walk away from the truth in this day, it used to be you walk away, they just got to walk away. Not today. When they walk away today, it's attack. Attack. All my efforts got to be spent on proving it's wrong. Let me say, how can you prove something wrong? God's already proven it right. Why don't you just leave? If you don't like it, just walk away. But it has to be that way. You know why? Because Jesus Christ was attacked so much that they nailed him to the cross. And that's why they are attacking the word. Why? Crucifying it. But there's a small group of people that they will not be able to crucify the word to them. Hallelujah. Because they have already accepted the word in their heart. And Jesus Christ is no longer a tramp. The bride of Jesus Christ has accepted him as king, as her husband, as her ruler. He's not a tramp on the street. We've opened the door. Says, come in. Come in. Make yourself at home. Hallelujah. Amen. Don't sit over in the corner somewhere. Just walk through my house. Clean me out. Amen. He died for this purpose. Hallelujah. Let me just read you one little story quick and we'll close. You remember the story of the man, I believe it was in New York City on Christmas. Eve, you remember the man taking the little doll to his daughter. He had promised her a doll. The daughter died. His wife had died. The man was sick with TB. He was also going to die. So way down in the alley, I'll just read some of this to you. They found the old man because they went looking for him. They found the old man, and when they turned him over, he had the little doll next to his heart. And he says, I suppose he took his gift to her. Hallelujah. What? To his daughter. He found her in a land not here. And yet it cost him his death. There's no other way in the world he could have give her the gift because she was buried. But the only way he could do it would be to go like that. Hallelujah. What was it? But he fulfilled a promise, Brother Branham says. He promised he would get her that doll. And he took it to her. And it fulfilled that promise. He says sometimes they look upon the gospel as singing, playing. They didn't want it when God brought it, but it fulfilled the promise that he would give his son. And you know what? They left him to die too, just like a tramp on the street. That's exactly right. They left him to die like a tramp on the street. And today they treat him like a tramp on the street. But he fulfilled what he was supposed to do. He was the gift that God promised to the world. Amen. So I say how privileged we are that he had made the promise to bring us the gift. What gift? Eternal life. Amen. He promised to bring us eternal life. And how could he do it? The only way he could do it was to die. Amen. To bring us that gift. You believe that? So Brother Branham goes on. He says, let's make our little heart here tonight a dwelling place for Christ. You want to do that this morning? Make our heart a dwelling place for Christ. He says, remember my odd story of the tramp. He says, tonight, really, he says, Jesus Christ is that tramp on the street. That's right. He was a tramp on the street. Or we say we serve him, sure. All the tinsel and the glamour. He said, that's not him. That's not him. He had to die to bring you this gift. Not a doll, but life. He had to die in order to do it. To get to you. The only way he could get to you. Think about that. Why? Jesus walked on earth in an earthly body. But you know, in that earthly body, he could not do for you what he has done by dying and leaving the body. Because in that body, while he was in that body, he could not come and live in you. So the gift was inside of him. Oh, hallelujah. But he loved you so much. He says, Father, not my will, but thine be done. In other words, his earthly desire, his natural desire would have been to stay with the disciples. To bypass the cross. But not my will. There was something greater on the inside. He said, I have a gift. Hallelujah. I have a gift. I got a gift to my people. And the only way I can give it to them is to die for them. Hallelujah. Oh, what love. What precious love the Father has bestowed upon us. That he says, I love them too much to stay here and not die. Hallelujah. He loved you so much that I'm going to go. I'm going to take this gift. I'm going to hold on to it. And I'm going to let them lead me to the cross. I'm going to let them nail me there. Listen, he wasn't struggling. He wasn't fighting. The only place he struggled and fought was in the garden. His will against the Father's. Amen. That's why he struggled. But when he overcome his own will. Hallelujah. Then the struggle was over. They led him to the cross. He wasn't going kicking and screaming. He wasn't pulling his hands back when he put it up the nail. The Bible said he was led as a lamb to the slaughter. Why? He had a gift for you. He had a gift he wanted to give you, and that was eternal life. He says, the only way I can do it is to let them crucify me. So after he overcome his own will, amen, they just led him. He just followed. Not only that, he loved you so much that when he couldn't walk, amen, he didn't say, please, please, don't leave me any further. I can't go. Because remember, he was so beat. But the man said he didn't even look like a human being. Unrecognizable as a human. So many stripes on him. But he never once said, oh, please, don't take me onto the cross. He got so weak that he was crawling. He couldn't bear the cross. And he called Simon the Cyrene, but to bear the cross, because he couldn't bear it anymore. But he never once said, oh, just forget it. No, he had come this far, and he was going to go all the way, because he had a gift. He had a gift, and the only way that gift could be released was for them to pierce his side, was for the blood and the water to run out of him, to release the life that was in him. Hallelujah! Amen, not my will, but thine be done. Because I love my children so much, I want to bring them that gift. The only way I can is for them to kill me. I say, brothers and sisters, we ought to love him this morning. We ought to thank him this morning that he loved us so much. Amen, that he brought that gift to us by letting them kill him. Listen, you ought to love him back. You ought to worship him. You ought to give him honor. He says, yes, Lord, you are not a tramp this morning. I'm going to open the door of my heart this morning. You are not a tramp. I'm going to let you in. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's stand to our feet. Amen. I wonder this morning, was that in your heart, those thoughts in your heart this morning? I wonder if you want to open up your door. Oh, open the door of your heart wider. Say, Lord, I've kind of kept the door closed. I didn't really let him walk wherever he wanted to go. But this morning, I want to swing the door wide open. Say, Lord, come in. After hearing that message this morning, I'm convinced that you're not a tramp. I'm convinced that you are my creator. And I'm convinced that you are like that daddy was in New York City. You loved me so much. You said, I'm going to bring this gift to him, to her, to him. Hallelujah. God sees those hands. Amen. Listen, don't hold nothing back. Surrender it all to him today. Amen. Let him walk through your house. Don't let him sit in the corner of your heart somewhere with dirty feet. But wash his feet with your life this morning. Amen. Will you accept that tramp on the street? Hallelujah. Will you let your house be his permanent residence? Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come before you today. You see the hands that went up, Lord. I pray, dear God, let the reality of your presence drop down in their heart today, Lord. I pray, God, that you will, amen, strengthen them today. Refill them with the Holy Ghost. Lord, if they've kept the door closed, I pray today, amen, you swing that door open. As their hands went up, I trust that their heart's door came open. And I know if it did, I know that you walked in, because you were out there knocking, just waiting. Say, please let me in. Let me in. And they listened to you this morning. They opened the door. And as soon as that door opened, you stepped in. Lord, I pray this morning, God, may you not only step inside, but may they welcome you. Say, Lord, now that you stepped inside my door, I want to invite you to walk all through the house. Just make yourself at home, Lord. Walk into every room. Lord, if there's something there that shouldn't be there, I just want to say, take it out, Lord. Just throw it out in the trash, so to speak. And just come in and be Lord of my life. God, we commit it to you, Father. We commit these people to you. We commit this service to you. We thank you for their honesty. We thank you, Lord, for dealing with their hearts. Oh, God, that they've raised their hand. Lord, if they need prayer, we're here to pray with them, Lord. God, we're so thankful, Lord, that they have recognized that you're not a tramp.
You are the King of heaven. You are the Creator. We thank you, Father. And we've opened our heart this morning to make our heart your permanent residence, your permanent dwelling place. Amen. Where all the support of heaven is living in there. My Father worketh hitherto in our work. We thank you for that today. We pray that you'll bless each one, bless each hand, strengthen them for this hour, strengthen them for this time that we live in. We commit it to you. We pray that you'll bless this church in a special way. In the wonderful name of Jesus Christ, we ask it. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. We thank the Lord Jesus. We worship him. I wonder if we could sing this chorus together. If the brother will help me. All to Jesus, I surrender. Amen. Do we know the words? Do you have them, or you just sing them by? Okay. Do you know them? All to Jesus I surrender, all to him I freely give. Love and praise him. In his presence daily live. I surrender all. Yes, Lord, we surrender to you today, Lord. All to thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all. Sing the chorus again as our brother comes. I surrender all. I surrender. Surrender all to him today. All to thee.
I surrender all. Oh, I surrender all. I surrender all to thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, brother, for that stirring message. My God, my God. Just sing one more here before we go. Everybody enjoy the service this morning? My God, my God. Thank you, brother. It's quite a way to look at it, huh?
Yes, my God. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Hallelujah. My, 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 my. Let's sing the old rugged cross. I think most of us know that. On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross with the dearest and best. For a world of lost sinners was slain. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophy. is at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. Amen. We'll just have a closing prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, so wonderful just to hear your words this morning, what you've done and is doing for us. We just thank you. Thank you for the pastor as he brought the word today. We thank you for everyone that was here today, Lord. They were supposed to be here. Pray that you'll bless them on the way home now. And be with Brother Jack and all that went up with him. That pray that you'll bring them back safely. And again, we just give you thanks in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Thank you.